Welcome into Talk the Dog, the show where we find a bone to pick and a take to give. These are not hot takes. These is dog takes. Can I talk that dog? Let's shut up and grab some tape.
We're introducing this for you.
Well, go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the final hour of our programming for this week. And normally Jay Will does the introductions here, does a great job giving the rundown and you know, laying out what we're going to talk about today. And I'll do that for you as well. We're going to talk about, reiterate some of Kirby's comments. We'll hit on the players that need to go from good, really good to great this year. I watched another Georgia football game throwback, and I have some notes on that. And then, of course, we will get to your Discord questions, as we always do on every Thursday. So be sure you're firing those off. And if you are not in Discord, be sure to subscribe to the Patreon. It's Brooks Austin forward slash, you know what? Just look up Brooks Austin on Patreon.
Patreon.com/Brooks Austin.
See, you've done that more times than I have. So what he said, to subscribe to the Patreon and get all the cool access to the Discord. It's a really cool community over there. But before we do that, Jay Will, from my understanding is that you are just a few months away from entering into fatherhood.
Yeah, due date is set for June 15th.
June 15th. That is a fantastic due date. I'm super excited for you and your lovely wife, Morgan, to experience bringing life into this world. And from what I understand, you guys have not necessarily fully decided on a name, or you're still workshopping some names.
Yeah, we think we maybe have a couple of names that we're kind of finalizing, but have not actually officially set a name. So, yeah.
Gotcha. Well, that's perfect. And from my understanding, both of this child's parents will be graduates from the University of Georgia.
Correct.
Big Bulldog fans here. I love that as well. So I figured I would assist you all in creating some some names for your soon-to-be daughter. Yeah. So these are all Georgia adjacent.
Okay.
Starting with name number one, Georgia. What do you think about that?
You know, Gunnar Stockton, I believe his sister's name is Georgia. I do like me some Gunnar Stockton. Some people I say I might resemble a little Gunnar Stockton, you know, in the voice a little bit. Okay, not a bad one.
All right, we'll keep that on the list. How about Girly?
Just name your girl Girly.
Yeah, it's a girly
spell girl. It like girly.
You have to.
I do have a friend that named their dog Girly, so I don't know how I'm feeling about this.
My cousin named her dog Girly as
Yeah, so okay.
Right, we'll cross off. How about Athena? Ooh. Athens, Georgia, we got the Greek vibe. You look like you got some Greek in you.
The only thing that I would think about every time I called my daughter Athena is the Creature Comforts beer Athena, which is one of my favorites.
Is that not the best of both worlds? The two things you love most in this world, your daughter and beer?
I'm here for it. I'm on board. I wonder if Morgan is listening to this right now. And if so, I'd like to know her takes on this. But all right. That's a better one than Girly. I'll give you that one.
We'll have another one. How about Michelle? Spelled like Sony Michelle, though. So when you say, what's your daughter Michelle named after? The Georgia running back, Sony Michelle.
Okay.
All right. We'll keep that one off the side. Keely, like Keely Ringo. It's a unique name, right?
It is unique. So I don't know if I'm here for that, but. Okay, that's a solid option.
Hear me out. Bailey for Champ and Boss Bailey. You nickname her Champ or Boss.
Okay. You know, if you were doing one of those things where you were waiting to find out the gender, this would be a perfect option because you can name a boy Bailey. You could also name a girl Bailey.
It is a very versatile name. So is Jordan for Jordan Davis.
Ah, okay. I was trying to place Jordan. Okay, now I figured it out. Okay.
How about an AJ?
AJ.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about naming my daughter AJ.
All right, we'll mark that one off the list. That's fine. How about Stacy for offensive line coach Stacy Searles?
Okay. I don't mind that one. Stacy.
Name your daughter after Stacy Searles?
Although then a lot of people would probably think, did you really name your daughter after the song?
Ah, that is true.
Stacy's mom. Hey, Morgan, I don't know how you'd feel about that one, okay?
This one's my favorite. Kirby.
I do know a girl named Kirby.
That's my girlfriend's mom's name.
She was not named after Kirby Smart, I wouldn't think.
Well, your daughter would be in this scenario.
Okay.
Or, you know, maybe me. All right, I figured, you know, those wouldn't be some heavy hitters, so I have a more creative list of names for you here.
You put a lot of effort into this.
I have, dude. I really want to make sure that I'm involved in the naming of your child. It's very important to me. How about this one? 2015 Jake Gaines.
That's the full name.
That's what you'd have to call it.
2015 Jake Gaines.
Now, you might have to write really small on the birth certificate, and the driver's license might be a little longer than most, but that name sticks out to me, I think. Like, this is our daughter, 2015 Jake Gaines.
That sounds like some crap Elon Musk would name his kid. You know, he named his son like AE15-05, something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're getting a little
weird there. How about this one? We're all George Pickens fans on the show. How about Pickensie? That's a good one, dude.
That one is at least a little more acceptable than 2015 Jake Gaines.
All right. Here's another one. You said you Gunnar Stockton fans on the show. Mm-hmm. How about Gunnarina? You know what? I heard that one out loud, and we're not going to go with that one, actually. I'm marking that one off for us, Jay Will. It sounded a lot better in my head, and I said, how can I make the name Gunnar feminine? Gunnarina is not the way to go.
You picked up on what that sounds like.
Do not name your daughter that one. That's bad.
Don't name any child Gunnaria, please.
Gunnarina. There's an N at the end. It's very important.
Okay.
All right. This one I've saved for towards the end because it's my favorite, and I think that this is what you end up naming your daughter. How about Shockliana?
Ooh. This one might be it. This one might be it. I will say, and I want to say this too, since we're on this topic, I'm just a little jealous that I did not get DJ Shockley for my commencement speech when I graduated. Dude. Just a little. The graduation itself was great. No complaints there, but DJ Shockley being the one that gave the speech would have made it 10 times better.
Dude, Shockleyana Williams. That's a name, dude.
Boy, man.
All right, this is my last one, so if you aren't in love with any of these ones, you're going to have to stick with this one. Name your daughter Uga 12.
Oh, okay. So this one still involves a number. It's not directly tied to my lineage or anything like that.
Well, but there's 11. We're on the 11th Uga, right? They would have to skip 12, though, because there already is one.
Oh.
She's like, this is my daughter Uga 12.
I'd have to send a letter to UGA being like, hey, you can't use UGA 12 because it's already taken.
When they retire UGA 11, you have to send a cease and desist to the university. You could trademark that name. You can't name the mascot UGA 12. You got to call it something else. This is my daughter's name, unfortunately.
Now, you have put a lot of thought into this. Like when you said and I had no idea, by the way, of what this segment was. All Kirby did was text me today saying, I'm opening the local hour. That's all I knew about it. Had no idea what the actual segment was. Had no idea that it was going to be attempts at naming my child. But you put a lot of thought into that. I'll give you credit there. And I will say this. If we had a boy this time, I'm pretty sure we were going to name them.
Kirby?
No, we were going to name them after a Georgia football player. But I won't say which one. But we were close.
Herschel? No. All right, just guess.
Massaqua.
Muhammad Massaqual is going to get a lot of love on tonight's show.
Oh, yeah?
So that's all the names I had for you. So whenever you give birth to Shockliana, insert middle name Williams, just know that I had something to do with that naming process.
Okay.
And by the way, even if you don't go with Shockliana, I am going to call her that.
Not bad.
Yeah,
Not
you bad. Know what? Actually, I've changed my mind. If you're in the chat right now, whoever super chubs the most with their name will be what Jonathan Williams names his daughter. No ifs, ands, or buts.
We're only accepting offers of $1,000 or more.
So there you go.
That's what it takes to name my child. So
I'm glad that our community, our familia, could be a part of naming your daughter. It's been an honor. So
well, thank you for the attempts. We'll put them in consideration. I will run them by Morgan later tonight and say, hey, I know we've already dwindled down the list and we put a lot of thought into this and we're ready to pick a name. Well, we got to open it back up because we got a whole bunch of more submissions of what this name could be and the potential of it.
Yeah, I mean, Shockliana is a game changer.
All right. You were talking about Muhammad Massaqual.
Yeah.
I think it's a good time to transition right into that.
This is a great time to transition in that. Let me get my notes out on this. So it's kind of become an off-season tradition. It's been an off-season tradition for me for many, many years now that when you enter the lull of the college football season and there's just nothing on, I will go back and rewatch some old Georgia football games just to remember things and feel something. And this isn't the normal games you'd watch. These are the more nuanced games that you kind of forget about. So this week, I watched the 2005 Georgia versus Tennessee game. DJ Shockley, who you'll be naming your daughter after, was a quarterback of this game. Georgia ended up winning, I think, something like 27-14. A lot of names that we saw and a lot of Georgia greats played in this game, including Muhammad Masquel. So some of the notes I have from, and by the way, I love this because I watch these on YouTube, and typically it's, you know, the segmented games or it's just the plays or they'll skip commercial breaks. This is the full 4-hour broadcast, commercials and everything. So I'm watching commercials from 2005 in between the action. So I very, very much enjoyed that. So actually I actually have some notes on the old commercials just from how much
the commercials itself.
Would you like to guess the official sponsor of the NCAA in 2005?
Ooh, Sprint.
That's a fantastic guess. And it's Sprint adjacent, Pontiac.
Oh.
Company that no longer exists. The premier sponsor for the NCAA in 2005. There are like 5 commercials.
I do remember Sprint being a huge sponsor, though, I feel like at the time.
Yeah, do you remember Vonage?
Yes, I do remember Vonage.
Saw some Vonage commercials. Here's this. It's still a very prominent thing in the world, but the Chrysler 300, the MSRP on that car in 2005 was $24,000. Bro, I could buy a Chrysler 300 right now in 2005. So. Either way,
how times have changed.
Oh, how times have changed indeed. There was some commercial for like a luxury airliner that had really weird commercials. That company's obviously not in business. It's like AirTran or something. So we're getting bogged down with commercials. That was my notes from that. First note I have of this, I miss the CBS intro, dude.
Oh, man.
Anytime it hits, my ears just ring, and it just puts a smile on my face. And especially when the montage of old highlights is playing. It's the perfect way to begin a game. Those CBS games just had aura to them.
They sure did, dude.
And I know that's an overused word.
I have vivid memories of sitting in my parents' backyard, and this is like right around the time where surround sound was a huge thing, and we found a way to bring speakers outside.
Yes.
Hearing the CBS intro rattle the woods behind us when the Georgia game is about to start. Oh my gosh. And I've already given my 2 cents on how we need to bring back the little sound effect when there was a touchdown in the old CBS games. Everybody knows the sound I'm talking about. I cannot replicate it, but everybody knows what I'm talking about. Every time I watch these old games, I'm like, that was incredible. It was everything about it was perfect.
And it was when you had subwoofers in your house. And that thud, dude. Yes. So the CBS intro, RIP. On to the game. Little interesting fact about this game. It took place in 2005. It was around Hurricane Katrina. This game was Tennessee's third contest in 13 days.
How?
They played LSU on a Monday. They played Ole Miss on a Saturday. And then they played Georgia the next Saturday. So they had played 3 college football games in 13 days, which is unheard of nowadays. Obviously, with Hurricane Katrina, LSU was displaced. They had to play that team on a Monday. So just insane. Let me read you just to illustrate how much college football has changed from an age standpoint. We talk about it now. Lots of true freshmen, a lot of sophomores, a lot of young players playing more than ever. There's going to be starting quarterbacks that are 17, 18 years old all around the league today. Here's the starting lineup for Georgia's offense, and I'm just going to give you the age. I'm not going to give you their position, their name, nothing.
Okay.
Junior, senior, 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 sophomore, freshman, which was Sean Chappas, the fullback. Doesn't really count. Senior, junior, junior, senior. It's all juniors and seniors starting. Here's
the one underclassman was a fullback?
Yes. And a sophomore running back, which was, I cannot remember the name right now. He wore number 28. I'm blanking on it. I'm sorry. Tennessee's defensive lineup. Senior, junior, senior, 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 junior, sophomore, junior, senior. It's all juniors and seniors playing 20 years ago, whereas nowadays you've got 17-year-olds starting. It's insane how much just the age of college football players has changed.
Was it Craig Lumpkin?
No, it was not Craig Lumpkin.
That's the only one I could think of that wore that number.
Craig Lumpkin wore number 6. Either way, on to the game.
Google lied to me. Yeah. I thought for some reason he wore that number.
Don't listen to Google, bro. Danny Ware.
Idiots.
Thank you, 910. It was Danny Ware. He was a sophomore in this game, had a very good game. On to the broadcast as a whole. Vern Lundquist, dude, this is a classic Vern Lundquist game. First play of the game is a end around to a freshman, Muhammad Masiqual, who we mentioned earlier.
Ah, yeah, man.
And Vern Lundquist has very clearly never been briefed on how to pronounce his name. And he goes, and it's the freshman, Muhammad. And you can tell he clearly looks at his notes. Muhammad Masiqual. So for the first six drives of the game until the producer obviously gets in his ear, Muhammad Masiqual's name is Muhammad Masiqual. It's just the peak nuances of Vern Lundquist.
Vern was, you know, I enjoyed Vern for the most part up until probably the end of his career, I would say. Then things were a little touch and go with how great he was at his job, I would say. But still does a phenomenal job with the Masters. But he was always known to butcher names. I remember that very vividly. Now, Muhammad Masiqual, not the easiest of names.
It's a butcherable name.
It is a very butcherable name, but there are multiple instances where I can remember listening to him call games as like, that is definitely not how you say his name, Vern, or that is definitely not that player, but you called him that anyways.
And especially when Georgia would be losing and like they mess a name, be like, get it right.
What the heck?
I hate him.
Turn it off.
This happened a lot, so I fully understand what you're saying here. Greg Blue was an absolute menace during his time at Georgia, and in this game, he had like 13 tackles. DeMario Minter, this Georgia defense, that unit was so underrated, I feel like, and doesn't get talked about enough. Now, obviously, it's 20 years removed. It's hard to talk about the legendary stats, but guys like DeMario Minter, Quentin Moses, Greg Blue, so many names on there, you're like, damn, there were some dudes on that defense. So, absolutely that. Leonard Pope. I always heard the legends of Leonard Pope and how much of a problem he was. Dude, Leonard Pope took over this game for Georgia's offense. Anytime Shock was in a situation where he needed to get out, he was the escape valve. Leonard Pope had some incredible plays. He dislocated a man's hip in this football game.
Ooh.
There's literally a 20-minute break in the action because Leonard Pope gets an out route and takes, and the guy that tries to tackle him is on his knees. And Leonard Pope impacts so much force that he dislocates his left hip.
Did it look as gruesome as I'm envisioning that?
No, it didn't look bad at all, actually. Like, you just, like, see him, like, bend over, like, ah, and then he's on the ground for 20 minutes.
Ah, my leg broke.
Yeah, no, literally like that. On to Shock. I forgot how elusive he was. Mm-hmm. I always kind of envisioned him as the, oh, he's the bulldozer, kind of run-through-tackles type guy, which he does do that. He was a lot more elusive than I remember. Also had some ball security issues, though. Had two turnovers in the second half. One was virtually a pick six. Had a fumble inside the red zone. Was not Shock's best performance, but you know what? They got the job done with a win. This is my ultimate take in this game, though, dude. And it made me realize something that made me very sad. It's that we didn't get to grow up during the peak of the Larry Munson era. We caught the tail end of it. Now, I vividly remember listening to him in the car and listening to the way he called games and all those things. But there is a towards the back end in the second half, Thomas Flowers returns a punt for a touchdown. Puts Georgia up, kind of seals the deal for it. It's called the play of the game. And you know how at the end of every CBS game, they do the play of the game, they show the highlight, and they give you the local broadcast. It was a Larry Munson call that I have never heard before. I don't remember hearing because, you know, growing up, you hear things. You hear the voice, but you don't really savor the calls. It was so cool to hear Larry Munson give a call that I've never heard before. For a moment, that's not legendary. Like, obviously, you've heard Hobnail Boots, Sugar Falling from the Sky, all of the big calls. But just calling a normal Saturday game and having him hear that much excitement, man.
Yeah, unfortunately, my childhood was not inundated with as much Larry Munson as I wish it could have been. But I will say two things. One, my parents did a really good job of making sure I knew who Larry Munson was. And in fact, I can remember my dad talking about him so much that as a kid, I would go on, this is like at the beginning of YouTube as well, like when it's first starting up, like I would go and try and find Larry Munson clips and just listen to them because I just wanted to know about him. I wanted to listen to him and hear about this legendary figure that everybody was talking about. And the other thing, there was multiple games that I can remember listening to Larry Munson call because this was also at a time where not every single game was on TV, like national TV, and sometimes that was your best option. One time when my family was camping, I remember listening to Larry Munson call a Georgia-Kentucky game. I remember sitting in my house listening to the radio of the Georgia versus Colorado game because that was the only option that we had. And another time when we were on a road trip, we were listening to Larry Munson call, I believe it was Georgia versus FAU, I want to say, one of those games. I very clearly remember those games.
It's one of my it's so fun how you everyone you know like who grew up listening to Larry Munson has a Larry Munson story. So just a legendary figure that seeing that it was like a nice surprise of at the end because you're watching a game you don't expect to hear anything from Larry Munson and then it's oh wait do you remember in 2020 this is obviously when peak COVID's going on and everyone's at home it's like oh this sucks some radio station did a thing where every day of, or a Saturday. They would broadcast a full Georgia game, and it would just be the Larry Munson call.
No, I don't remember.
Dude, I would drive around for like 3 hours. I was like, I gotta get out of the house and just listen to Larry Munson call a Georgia game. I was like, this is incredible.
I one thing I do remember is when Georgia won the 2021 national title, a fan synced up the Keely Ringo play to Larry Munson, like somehow configured it to where Larry Munson was giving the call. It was crazy.
I have seen that. Yeah,
it was one of the wild. One of the best things about the internet is there's people that can figure out how to do those types of things. One of the coolest things ever. I thought that was really awesome. But yeah, I despite the fact that I didn't get to listen to Larry Munson as much as other Georgia fans, I still know enough about him and have enough memories about him to like really understand like, gosh, that guy truly was one of the best.
So yeah, those are the notes I have from the 2005 Georgia versus Tennessee matchup. If anyone has suggestions for games for me to watch, I mean, I've probably watched the majority of them all.
Yeah, I know people have been asking where they can watch the Georgia versus Arkansas game that we mentioned the other day.
I'm so glad that people want to see that. I can't find it anywhere.
It's nowhere to be found. And look, I even did the thing where I asked ChatGPT if they could find it for me, and they said they couldn't find it either. But like, it did say that oftentimes games are eventually taken off of YouTube or something like that because of the rights and everything. So I would just say keep searching every day, and maybe hopefully someone listening to this will be a G and upload it to YouTube or something like that. Or better yet, put it as an unlisted video on your YouTube account and drop the link in Discord.
Yes, please.
That there would be we go. Incredible. Now we're talking. If somebody
that's
can figure out a way to do that.
The Patreon.
Mm-hmm. If we can figure out a way to do that, that's what we need to be doing.
Where would you like to go next, Jay?
Let's get into some real subjects about the current state of Georgia football. A little bit of projection, if you will, but also some realism about the football team. So the other day I wrote an article and I titled it Georgia Players That Need to Go From Being Really Good to Great This Upcoming Season. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's players that are already really good, but if Georgia wants to achieve winning a national title this year or being better than they were last year, I think that these are the players that are going to have to take that next step and being even better than they already are. And we've talked about this a little bit with some football players, but I've got a list. I believe you have a list as well.
Yes, I do.
So, for example, the first name I had on this list, Chris Cole. Yeah. This is a guy that everybody knows the expectations around this guy. Already a really good football player. We knew that the moment that he stepped foot on the field as a true freshman, we watched him against Texas on the road. We knew the abilities of this guy. Thought maybe the sophomore season would be the year where we just see everything get put together. But I think the situations that he was forced into a little bit with having to rush the passer, having to be a coverage linebacker, and also just being your standard inside linebacker, I think it was a lot to take in for a guy only playing his second year and really his first full year as an SEC linebacker to where it just didn't live up maybe to the potential that we hoped it would. I think in his third year, though, we know this is a thing with Georgia linebackers Glenn Schumann of once you get to year three, that's when things really pop off. I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case for Chris Cole, but one of these guys of he's really good right now, but if he turns into a great player, who knows what this defense could be.
Yeah, and I think that it's very also it's promising to know that watching that 2025 season, there's a lot of meat left on the bone from Chris Cole, just from a standpoint of he could have made that play. He was in the position to make that play. He has to start making those plays, and when he does, my God, he'll be a first round draft pick. So definitely one. I put Drew Bobo as a guy. Drew Bobo was a very solid option at center this year, and he's a fantastic option, and you felt his absence. I think if Drew Bobo can take another step forward this year and become a borderline elite center, a top five in the SEC, Georgia's offensive line is going to become very, very scary. And we'll get more into the pieces surrounding that. But it starts at the center with Drew Bobo.
And maybe that even just is as simple as we get a healthy Drew Bobo this year. Like, we get to see Drew Bobo for the entire season, because we have yet to see an entire season with him as a starting center. Came close last year. He was a spot player the year before that behind Jared Wilson. Like, if we can get a full season of Drew Bobo, I think it'll be really good. I mean, he's already proven that he is a really good center. So that's a good option, because typically when you think of this segment, Drew Bobo, no offense to him, probably not the player that you're thinking of. He didn't make my list, but I'm glad you gave him his flowers right there. This is the one that Chat's already talking about. This is one that we have already talked about on this show that we would like to see make a step forward, and it's KJ Bolden.
Yeah.
And KJ is aware of this, I'm sure, too. You talked about how Chris Cole left some money on the field a little bit last year. KJ Bolden also left some money on the field. But I want to point this out, too. Like how I talked about with Chris, how it seemed like maybe he had to take on a lot of different things last year, and that maybe stunted some of his growth, or like how quickly we could have seen some of his growth as an inside linebacker last year. I think you kind of saw that with KJ a little bit last year, because you have to remember, KJ came in with Dan Jackson and Malachi Starks as the starters.
Yep.
So when he went out onto the field, you could play as free as you wanted to, probably, because you know that those two guys are going to do their jobs. They're going to take care of business. They're going to do their assignment. I can play a little more freely. And then he goes into his second year, and the entire conversation is who's starting next to KJ Bolden. And it's a bunch of guys that haven't really played. Like, Zion Branch hadn't played a lot at USC due to injury. Ja'Cory Thomas had just been waiting and waiting for his turn up until that point last year. Kyron Jones was a guy that we had seen a little bit of, but not a whole lot of, to where there's this added pressure now where I can't play as free, because I have to really make sure that everybody else is where they need to be and that I'm doing my job while also making sure they're doing their job. I think you kind of saw a similar thing where he couldn't, and I think KJ playing freely is when he's at his best, because he is just one of these playmakers,
sure.
But it just kind of hindered his ability a little bit.
That's such an interesting take, and I fully agree with it, in that KJ Bolden probably was handicapped on his own accord and hamstringed simply because of, hey, I'm the veteran presence in this room right now. I need to be the one that makes sure I'm doing everything right. And when you have that mental block right away, you're already going to stop yourself from being as aggressive and trying to make as many plays. Now, there are some things that are just fundamentals. Dropping interceptions,
sure,
is, you know, that's not hindering yourself at all. I think you're right.
And the added aspect of this, and I don't know that this KJ's the type of guy where this really would affect him. At least his personality doesn't strike me as that, but maybe it does, where – I mean, even when he's starting, or not starting, but when he's getting a lot of playing time as a true freshman, the attention is still on Malachi Starks. Like, everybody's talking and looking at Malachi Starks because he's a known commodity. This, yep, is a guy that's been starting for the last 3 years. And then all of a sudden, the very next year, I mean, for the entire secondary, in that fact, other than maybe Dalen Everett, for the entire secondary, everybody's looking at KJ Bolden because they're expecting him to be this great football player. And he is a really good football player already. But there's some greatness in him, and it needs to be achieved this year, in my opinion.
For sure, I agree. Another player I have on my list for players that probably need to take a step forward, and I'm counting them as one. I don't care. It's Don Juan.
Don Juan.
Don Juan, that's Donald Glover.
Glover.
I know, I did it on purpose. Donnie Glover. It's Danny Glover. No, it's Donnie Glover and Juan Gasson. Those two are going to be basically joined at the hip this year at the offensive line. I think if those two, you compare that and you combine that with Drew Bobo taking a step forward and these two players taking a step forward, and then Ernest Green taking another step forward, you have four not only extremely solid options on your offensive line, you have four borderline elite offensive linemen with a guard position. You have plenty of talent to figure it out at. I think that if those two, if Don Juan can take a step forward as well as Drew Bobo, Georgia might win the Moore Award, which I know that's a sore subject around here, but
this player is on my list, and I know that you could say it for both of them, but I have this player on this list specifically for how he was advertised coming out of high school, what the expectations were, and the fact that this is probably your last year with him before he goes to the NFL, Ellis Robinson.
Ooh, I like that one. I think, now, and I also have DeMelo on my list as well.
So and we DeMelo could also be put on this list as well.
We kind of do this as a 1-2 because I think they're both in need of taking another step forward. They were great last year. They got better as the season went on.
And that's what I was going to say is, and Ellis showed greatness at the end of last season. Like, that was the last, like, five games, I would say, of the season. That guy played his best ball ever since he got to Georgia. The plays that he was making, the interception against Georgia Tech, he had some really good plays against Ole Miss. Like, that dude locked it in multiple times last year, and it was like, okay, this is the greatness that we were expecting for someone that was ranked as the number one player in the country in his recruiting class. Like, this is what you expect that corner to look like. So we've seen it. I just need him now to build upon that and do it for an entire season, because you don't have one of these veterans, I would say, in the cornerback room at this very moment. Like, you don't have the guy that's just been there for the last two seasons and now he's still there and we're just waiting on one of the younger guys to step up. It's Ellis and DeMelo who have arrived at the same time and were splitting reps last year, to where now both of those guys are now the known commodities in the room. But they're still not really veterans, I would say. They're still pretty young players despite the fact that they're both draft eligible now.
They're going to be treated as veterans.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll have the most starting experience in that room. They'll have the most game experience. They'll be the oldest. So they're veterans at this point. Unfortunately,
by default they are.
Yeah, unfortunately their timeline's been so progressed, but that's just the way college football is. Like, by the time you get about 10 starts under your belt, you're a veteran. So they are. The last player on my list is, I think, the definition of a player who's, hey, you're really good for us. If you could unlock another level and take another step forward, it would be great. Xavier McCloud. That is, I think that with you losing Christian Miller in the interior offensive or defensive line this year, you need that enforcer. You need that game wrecker. There's not like a name that's kind of circled of, oh, this is who it'll be once this player leaves, as it was from 21 and for a few years. If Xavier McCloud can take another step forward in his game and become a game wrecker, Georgia's going to be very good on defense.
I think he's been such an underrated player for Georgia.
He has.
I understand why, because Christian Miller, like you just mentioned, has been the spotlight in that room. And then even last year, even with Christian there, then Elijah Griffin is appearing on the scene and everybody's kind of paying attention to that. Meanwhile, number 94, and I would put him and Josh Horton in the same category here of, they've just been underrated. Like, I thought both of them played so well for Georgia last year. Like, maybe they're not making all the flash plays that Christian or Elijah are, or Gabe or Quintavious. But those two players played really well for Georgia. And I think that, you know, maybe there is a next step for Xavier, and he's going to have to probably take that because he is the old head in the room right now. And like Jordan Hall, he's also an old head at this point, but he's rehabbing from injury.
Yep.
He's battled injuries throughout his career. And then it's a bunch of young guys. So it is necessary that he takes one of those steps. Nate Frazier is next on my list just because I know it's there. I just know for a fact that it's there. And I think why is because freshman year was just kind of a little wonky because the Clemson game, you're him now. Like, you have to come start for us because Trevor Achane he's not available. So you have to start. So we get this blazing start to our career. And then things teeter off a little bit. We don't see as much Nate Frazier over like the next 5 weeks. And then you see a little bit more of him at the end of the season. And then you come into this past year, and we have a couple fumbles and kind of stunts our growth a little bit, probably stunts our confidence just a tad, to the point where our main focus is we're going to hold on to the ball and we're going to get positive yards. And he was great at that. But I think when Nate is just fully comfortable like he will be this year, and he has all of the confidence in the world like he already does, I think we're going to see the complete version of Nate Frazier, and when that happens, that is a great running back. And so I'm excited to see it. I think we're going to get a really good season from him. I know that he can take that next step to be a great player.
Oh, absolutely. And it is kind of interesting to point out how Nate Frazier has always been available for Georgia, and yet it feels like he's never been consistently the guy in here.
Right.
Like you said, there was a time where Trevor Achane was getting the ones carries because he was the veteran in that room and he was a new transfer portal, and Nate was a freshman.
Yeah.
And then obviously the fumble thing happened. Like, it hasn't been able for Nate to kind of get this consistent just season run of, hey, you're the guy. And it might not be that with him and Chauncey being 1-2 punches here. Like, there will be certain situations. But I do think that there will, not having him be on the shelf this year will be so beneficial to his development.
I think we're going to see a really good version of Nate this year.
I'm excited.
I really do. You got any more on your list?
That's all for me.
Okay. This was the only rising sophomore that I put on this list. And it has to do with what people have already said about him. It has to do with the intel that we've heard about him. But for this caliber of player, for people to talk about you like this, I think it's a requirement that we see it this year and we don't have to wait until your junior year to see it. Elias Williams.
Yep.
if this guy is going to be as good as he is advertised right now, and he was great last year, like the signs are there. I understand it. You can see it when he plays. Obviously, his size alone makes him a bit of an anomaly at the position. But Elias Williams, if he is going to be that type of game-changing tight end that we expect him to be, the jump to being really good to great happens this year, in my opinion. Like, if this is the type of tight end that we are, it happens in your second season. And we're going to see a lot of him this year. So I think it happens this year, or at least I'm predicting it to happen. We'll see what happens.
Fully agree. You're absolutely right on that.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, we have some fantastic news before we get into our Discord Q&A.
This news kind of shocked me.
It's kind of gone under the radar just a tad. Maybe it's been known information, but to me, this was the first time that I was hearing it. So as someone that covers the program, from it to be new information to me, I only assume that it's new information to you guys as well and the majority of y'all. G-Day will be streamed on ESPN Plus this year.
Where did you see this?
So this was in a release from ujsports.com, or at least it looked like something from their page. And it's kind of giving a rundown of G-Day and the overall event. And at the very bottom of the page, it says G-Day will be live streamed on ESPN Plus this year.
And this is April Fool's proof? You're sure?
I'm pretty sure. It was put in Discord at least.
So, I mean, if that's the case, that's huge.
Sorry, not ujsports.com. This is georgiadogs.com. Not to get crossed up there. Let me see if I can actually find it and confirm this for you guys.
But no, if that's the case, that's huge, because I know the big complaint this year was that it feels like the program is kind of nickel and diming you and putting more and more things behind a paywall. And an event that used to be available to everyone is now you have to come to see it, and then you have to pay $10 to see it. So If this is available on ESPN Plus, which I understand not everyone has ESPN Plus, that is still frustrating. But
get the free trial, baby.
Well, yeah, free trial, create a Gmail. Let me put you on game after that. But yeah, okay. No, let me see. That's excellent news if that's the case.
So maybe it happens when I do this. Okay, not that. I clicked on request tickets. I thought maybe it'd be there, not there. I'm trying to find this for you guys. I really want to confirm
if that's the case. That's excellent news. It might be an April Fool's joke.
I really hope it's not. Look. TV, ESPN Plus. It's right here on my screen. Okay, if you go to georgiadogs.com and then you go to the football section, there's a little blurb that shows the G-Day. It's officially set the date. If you click on that, it says TV, ESPN Plus, radio, Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
Which,
so there
way,
you go.
Which, by the way, Georgia Dogs is the official website.
Yeah, that is it.
Like, it's not like a third party, like, oh, so.
I swear, guys, it's not an April Fool's joke, okay? It's right here in front of me, okay? I can even post the link in the chat right now. I'll give it to you guys. And so you guys get.
No, it's all right, Jay. We believe you.
I just don't want people thinking I'm leading them astray, man.
We believe you, man. It's all right.
So good news for you guys. It's going to be streamed. So if you don't go to the game, if you can't make it to the game, you can watch it from your home and you can stream the game. So that's great news. Just want to bring that to you guys. And now we will get into the questions that are served up from our beloved people over there in Discord. Again, if you want to join the Discord and you want to hop in on these Q&As that we do every Thursday during the local hour, that is patreon.com/BrooksAustin. That automatically gives you access to our Discord as well. And so here we go. Let me scroll up to the top because we've got a lot of people talking about the Diamond Dogs right now. Kirby, they're up 10-2, I believe, against Mississippi State, a top five matchup right now.
Ooh.
Diamond Dogs taking care of business.
Go Dogs, baby.
All right, here we go. First question from 910 Cooper. Worst thing you've ever smelled?
Worst? I don't know if I can tell this story. You know what? Statute of limitations. Sophomore year of high school, I am sitting in the locker room of what we normally have. We have first period weight training. And one of my friends, who I'm not going to name, goes, Kirby, come over here. And they reach into their backpack and they pull out 3 fart bombs.
Ooh.
And so we're like, ooh, where are we going to put these? So we decide the good place for them to be is the freshman locker room. So as the bell rings and we're transitioning, me and my friends sneak off. And by the way, I don't even think my parents know this story, so they're watching right now, so this is going to be news to them. So we sneak off into the freshman locker room, and we, you know, pop the baggies that you do for a fart bomb and place them accordingly around the locker room in hidden areas and run off to class, and within 45 minutes, the group chat is blowing up of, dude, they're canceling PE classes. Like, the coaches are airing out the hallways. Like, every door is open downstairs. So, of course, I got to see what's going on. So I'm, you know, as things sneak off, I say I got to go to the bathroom or something, go down to the team room. And the hallway that leads to the locker room smells so damn bad. One of the freshman basketball players is walking out, and you hear him coming down the hall like, he's got a shirt over his face, and his eyes are bloodshot red. Bro, it was the most foul-smelling fart bombs I've ever smelled in my life, and we never got caught.
Your dad hitting the chat with a damn son that's crushing me right now.
I'm going to get a phone call after this episode. But, yeah, that's the worst smell I've ever smelled in my life.
I think for me it was we were in Europe, and I want to say we were in Italy, and I'm with my wife and her family. And so one thing about Europe is there's not a whole lot of accessibility to public restrooms as there is over here in America.
Oh, they were going on the street?
Well, no. You have to like find a business that you can purchase something from to then get access to their bathroom. So we find a little gelato station that's serving up ice cream. All right, we'll get some ice cream, and we'll go to the bathroom. So we buy some. And then we say, hey, by the way, where is your bathroom? And they say, oh, it's right back there through that door. So there's a line of people. We're sitting there waiting. And this lady comes out of the bathroom, and she looks at my wife, and she goes, dear, I don't think you want to go in there. And so I'm like, she just like blow up the bathroom or something? Like, what's going on here? The bathroom was like a porcelain floor with a tiny hole cut out. That's it. And you literally stood over it, did your business, and that was it.
Dang, you had to hover?
You had to, yeah, basically. Did now, for me, it was nothing. But, you know, like,
just another day outside.
Yeah, exactly. But for girls, I mean, so there's just, you know, residue all over the floor, and it just goes to the through the floor onto the ground. So everything that's under there, you're just, it was horrible. It was one of the worst experiences. I would say that was it.
So, yeah. All right, next question. All right.
Yeah, this comes from MJ8232002 exclamation point. What a username. Your favorite and least favorite thing about Christian Kirby and Brooks, vice versa, for Kami Curb.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that I'm going to sit here and look. I don't have an answer for that.
My least favorite thing about Brooks is that he's allowed the nickname Kami Curb to become a thing.
I don't know. I don't know what my least favorite thing would be.
It's all right, Jay. Well, you can be honest, man.
No.
This is a safe space.
We're not going to air things out over a live YouTube show. We're better than that. 910 Cooper says...
So there is something that's your least favorite, then?
No, I seriously can't think of one. Yeah. Of one that's worth like mentioning, at least. 910 Cooper, looks maxing routine?
I'm honored that 910 thinks either one of us has a looks maxing routine.
I wake up and I go out the door.
I do have a hair routine to try to keep it from falling out.
Yeah, I comb my hair.
It's not going great. But other than that, like, I don't have like a get ready with me type.
All right, some football questions now. King Jester, favorite jersey number for every position group. Now, we don't have to actually do every position group.
Oh, wow, that's tough.
But I would say for running back, number 3. At Georgia specifically, it's got to be number 3. At wide receiver...
I like one at wide receiver.
One is really clean.
One is a good look at wide receiver.
If it's the right build, I do love number 8.
Yes.
We'll see what Landon Roldan does with that.
Yeah,
we'll see. He could continue to carry that legacy a little bit. We'll see.
Defensive back, let me hear me out. Number 2.
We haven't gotten very many of those.
Watching,
you know?
Demario Minter this week kind of made me like, damn, he looked – very, very fun to watch.
I think Zion rocks it pretty good.
Zion rocks it. He looks clean in number 2. Richard looked good when he rocked it.
Yeah. Okay. I could see that one. For any interior defensive lineman, I love 99 on him. Like, I think JJA rocks it so well. Like,
yes.
I love, and I know he's not interior really, but 99 just looks clean. I like it. So there's some of my favorites. HJacket68 says, what year of Madden has the best soundtrack? Also, get ready to speak Kirktober, Kirby.
First of all, let me address the Kirktober thing, because I love that decision. Oh, no, we're paying $13 million for a veteran quarterback to coach up our number one overall pick instead of throwing him to the fire. Dang, I think that's a great deal. And by the way, Falcons are paying $8 million this year, so we got him on the hook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hey, we tried it too. Hasn't exactly worked out.
Your situation
so
far was completely different. Yours was, let's give this guy all this money to be our franchise quarterback. And then let's behind his back draft Michael Penix.
Yeah, but You have no idea what they told him. Maybe Tom told him, we're not drafting Fernando. Don't believe it. You should come here.
Whatever, dude. To answer the second question, Madden soundtracks in the like early 10s, late 2000s had some bangers.
It's Madden 11 for me.
Madden 12 for me.
Okay, both of those are really good.
That ain't classy as the interest, especially on the Wii, but like I went pulled up the list. 6 foot, 7 foot, All Around the World.
Yeah, dude.
Get Up by Korn.
Okay.
Come on. Get the F Up by Yellowwood.
Yeah, man.
A lot of bangers on it. A lot of forgotten bangers.
The best sports soundtrack for the like how it fits the game and everything, though, it's MLB The Show 21. And you can seriously look up the playlist on Spotify of MLB The Show 21. Tell me I'm wrong. It is one of the best soundtracks ever made.
2K13 also deserves a shout.
2K13 was phenomenal.
Also deserves a shout.
H Jacket also says, why are the Falcons throwbacks, in fact, better than the Raiders uniforms?
Because the Raiders' normal uniforms are their throwback uniforms. See, we haven't had to alter tradition. It's been the same throughout.
I do like the Raiders' uniforms.
Thank you.
I think it's a clean look.
I appreciate that.
It's like, as basic as they are, I think they look clean.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's like, it's a classic. Like, you don't need to change it. It's like the Steelers.
Dolphin Master, how are you handling the Kirk news?
It's raining Cole's cash up in here, baby. I'm loving it. I'm excited. You know who's not excited? Everyone at the Bellagio is going to have to start serving milk.
Yeah, when Fernando Mendoza and Brock Bowers and Kirk Cousins walk into the casino, they're probably like, aw, dang, dude.
They're going to walk in and start handing out Bibles. Like, God, dude. Kirk Cousins and Fernando Mendoza are here. They're shutting down our business.
This is one of my favorite questions that we have. If you could Frankenstein a new UGA player from past players, taking one attribute from each old player, who would be each of y'all's Frankendog?
Okay. I say we table this one because that's such a good question that it deserves its own segment.
Yeah, I don't want to sit here and take it up, but that is a phenomenal question.
Yes.
I think in simple terms, how we said it pre-show, ultimately just give me a tight end that's Brock Bowers with Darnell Washington's height, and then maybe give him the personality of Jordan Davis.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be the perfect player.
Brock Bowers also has a great personality.
No, he has a great personality, but, like, the outgoingness of a Jordan Davis, like, it'd literally be the perfect player for a tight end. But, yeah, I really want to save that question. We'll do that. We'll do an entire show segment on that. So we'll save that one decourse. KJ Harris, perhaps a Brooks question, but since there was such an infamous on stopping the run, did it lead to us giving up more explosives in the passing game, or was it simple as a miscommunications and younger DBs? Brooks actually answered this in the Discord, so I'll read you his answer. He said, you didn't commit to stopping the run with extra bodies. It was an emphasis on striking and shedding blocks more than a commitment resources wide to stopping the run. Wasn't like you loaded the box. Philosophy more than scheme.
Yeah, I was going to say, there wasn't a time this year where an explosive pass was given up, and I thought, damn, they bid on play action too much, or we had a safety being too close to the box or something like that. It was more just, Ellis has to make a better play on the ball. DeMello has to cover better. Our safeties were misaligned in that, or we just flat out busted. So I don't think that it was necessarily like Kirby Smart placed such an emphasis on stopping the run. It goes back to their common phrase, do more with less.
Right.
You dedicate less run, less bodies to the run so that you can cover in the back end.
It's better. Why they've been so successful against Tennessee in prior years, because they don't commit extra bodies. They can play it with a light box, stop the run, and therefore they can defend their widespread offense. LB asks, does UGA finally have a group of receivers that instills fear in SEC defenses to complement the running game? It seems to be the vibe. That seems to be what the potential of this room. We just don't know yet. But, yeah, I mean, I think that this room is talented enough to become that, to where you got to respect everybody. Like, I don't expect this wide receiver room to get put in a position where it was kind of last year, where when Colby Young gets injured, it's, all right, this Zachariah Branch guy, that's who we really have to worry mm-hmm. about. That's what it felt like at times. That's not because Dylan Bell isn't really talented or because London Humphreys isn't really talented or anything like that, but I think you just have more guys that have the ability to be these eye catchers for defenses, like Talon Taylor's speed and Sakovi White's ability to make plays after the catch, CJ Wiley and Isaiah Kanyon. I think all of those guys have abilities that will require a lot of attention from defenses to where, yeah, I think it should complement your run game better. They just got to prove it. That's the only thing we haven't seen yet.
Yeah, and to answer that a little further, you're not going to find out the answer to that till like mid-October. Because right now, no one really knows what that wide receiver room is going to look like, and you're going to have two games of, oh, they're just beating up on cans. Like, of course they're playing really well. It's going to take a while for people to actually watch tape and go, oh, they have four dudes this year. We're in trouble. We have to do everything we can to stop them. It's going to be that. So you're not going to start seeing teams really start dedicating things to the passing game until then.
Yeah, completely agree. Magic Maddie asks, top five fast food items must have a drive-through.
Top five fast food items.
One of them is definitely the sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle.
All right, let's just make a comprehensive list.
Okay, that's one of
sausage,
them for me.
Sausage, egg, and cheese McGriddle. Chick-fil-A waffle fries.
Definitely on there.
I think
there.
That's a fair one.
That's a good one.
Shamrock shake.
I'm not a fan. Right, I'm not a fan of the mint chocolate chip stuff.
We don't have to put that out there. That was just it was a feeler.
Raising Cane's is Texas toast.
That's fine. I don't hate that.
Just my opinion.
All right. How about where's anything with tater tots?
Who has good?
You know what? Chick-fil-A hash browns in the morning.
You want to swap that for the waffle fries?
They're two different entities. They're counting.
All right.
For both
so the
spots.
Chick-fil-A hash browns. And then we need one more. I'm trying to think of one that I'm clearly overlooking right now.
There's definitely something we're overlooking.
You know, one of my favorite, like if we want to add a dessert into the mix, my favorite thing to like dessert place right now is Culver's, and you get a concrete mixer that is Oreo and cheesecake. It is so bomb.
Well, dude, I understand why that's like diabetes in a cup, man.
I know, dude. I even like I go as far as I get the kitty because it's still plenty for me. I don't even get a small. I just take the kitty. It's just the perfect amount. I'm not a sweet treat guy. Like I don't have a sweet tooth like that or anything. But
come on, man, you're a sweet treat guy. Come on.
But dude. Obviously my pregnant wife has been on a sweet treat.
Well, they
kick.
get a pass.
Oh, yeah. So anytime she wants,
that's
I'm like, all right.
Sweet treat city for that.
So that's why another reason why I'm getting the kitties, if I do get one, because there's a stipulation too where if they want to get a sweet treat, you also have to get one or else they're not getting one. Now, there's been a couple times where I'm like, sorry, I just really don't want one. I'm good.
But. All right, I'm going to manipulate things here because this place does have a drive-through. A peanut butter cup blast from Brewster's.
I haven't been to a Brewster's in forever.
I'm putting that on the list.
They used to have one in Oakwood, and they took it out.
I know it's not like fast food per se, but it's got a drive-thru. Peanut butter cup blast goes on that list. Mm. Elite.
Caleb Mathis asks, if you got 100 rushing attempts with Georgia's offensive line, how many of them would result in positive yards against an average SEC defense?
All right, well, here's the thing. Georgia's offensive line is really good. So it should allow you to at least get back to the line of scrimmage. I would say probably on, and again, this is going to seem like you arrogant. So this is all Georgia's offensive line. Probably like 50 to 60. And that's not, oh, Kirby's rattling off 10-yard gains. That's Christian Kirby with another 1-yard carry or got back to the line. Like I would have a net probably like 60. I would probably have total of 50 rushing yards if I got 100 attempts behind Georgia's offensive line.
I assume this is with the assumption that we never get injured because I would never in a million years would I make it to 100 attempts.
I'm operating on that assumption like every rep is a new rep.
Okay, so I'm fresh every single time.
Bro, you're long enough that you could fall forward.
I could just dive every single time.
Saying. Like we're cheating the system.
Hand it to me in the fullback spot, I can get a yard. But honestly, I don't know. Like maybe like 30. I don't know, dude.
Yeah, I'm never breaking off a run longer than 5 yards. That's not what I'm saying. But, like, get back to the line and getting back to the line and getting 1 yard is the offensive line's job anyway.
Right.
Like, you should be able to put a Make-A-Wish kid back there. And be like,
yeah,
all right, buddy,
let me just find Juan Gaston or Donnie Glover and literally just run behind them every single time.
So it's not as crazy of a theory as you might think.
I don't have as much faith in myself as you do, but you also played football. I did not, and you're a lot quicker than I am, I would imagine, so. Chris Brown asks, what is your go-to tailgate drink, food, and song?
Wow. I'm going to be honest. I didn't tailgate a ton in college or just ever.
Drink, as a kid, it was cheer wine.
Interesting.
As I've gotten to grow older, it's just a Coors Light. If it's after the game, give me some Basil Hayden on the rocks. I'm cool with that. Favorite food, it's got to be jalapeno poppers. Song, I don't really listen to songs football.
Well, I mean, I love music, but I don't have like a, this is the tailgate. You know what? The CBS intro. That's my tailgate. That gets me fired up like nothing before.
Yeah, I mean, if we're doing that, I'd just say Krypton.
That's a good one.
Like if someone just wants to play that or the Battle Hymn right before, I'm cool with that.
The Battle Hymn. Ooh. Can't play that at the tailgate, though. That's kind of like a, hey, buddy, save that for the real time.
Sure, I agree. But, you know, just one of the, like, anything Georgia-centric.
That's fair.
I'm cool with that. Rank the opening college football songs, you just mentioned this, between ESPN, Fox, CBS, etc. So ESPN, I don't know how to rank because they changed it,
They changed it too much. CBS is number one. That's all that really matters. Fox is fine. Fox gets like 4 or 5.
Yeah. CBS is goated.
CBS is untouchable forever, number one.
I don't know any others that I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah, I'd have to hear them. I'd have to hear them to rank them properly. But.
Yes. All you need to know is CBS is at the top of the list. Hey, Ray, I believe is how you say that. Don't know if it's been talked about slash non-dog, but what's up with Alabama to Ohio State pipeline? I mean, seems like they've been getting players from top programs, i.e. Dominic Kelly from us as well. The answer that I would give you to this is often probably tied to the fact that players that Alabama and Georgia get and vice versa with Ohio State as well, they intermingle a lot on the recruiting trail. So odds are players that Georgia is getting and Alabama is getting are also players that Ohio State was trying to recruit as well. So when those players want to enter the portal or they're being influenced into the portal, they already have a pre-existing relationship with Ohio State. So they've already had conversations with Ryan Day or anybody on the coaching staff there. So it just is, it feels like it's a pipeline, but it's really just because there's some of the top programs in the country that, yeah, they've already intermingled quite a bit. So those were already Ohio State targets to begin with.
And it's an out-of-conference program. It produces NFL talent. There's no denying that. And based on everything we've heard about the NIL rumblings, you typically get a pay raise when you go to Ohio State. So I think that's fair. And Caleb Downs said himself, the competition week in, week out is not as stiff. That's not me saying that. That is an actual player who played for Alabama and Ohio State for 2 years saying, week in and week out, I don't have to give my A game. So
facts.
That's probably why it's enticing to go from an SEC school to Ohio State.
Caleb Mathis asks again, what if Pug is what is he trying to say? I guess he's asking, what if Pug is so good at practice that we have to start him? Hashtag QB controversy. Won't happen. Do you know what it would require for Ryan Puglisi to look like for them to be like, we can't play Gunner? In fact, if that did happen, it would be you play both of them.
Yeah.
That's what the result would be, because you paid Gunner Stockton to come back and be your starting quarterback. He's going to play. But Ryan Puglisi, if he's that good, you would just get a 2-quarterback system, in my opinion.
And also, and this is where we get into the politics of it all, you do yourself no favors if you start Gunner Stockton for an entire season and then you bench him for a guy behind him. You get counter-recruited into oblivion if that's the case, because all you have to do is say, oh, that's great, Georgia's going to tell you you're the starting quarterback, but they don't even have loyalty to a guy like Gunner Stockton, who was loved by the fans, who led them to an SEC championship. Yeah, they benched him. They'll do the same to you. Come play for my school instead. So
yep,
you can't do that.
All right, I'm going to skip a couple questions, mostly because it's a lot of you guys have already asked questions, but there's one question in particular that I really want to get to before the show ends. I'll ask this one, and then we'll get to our final question. Jake Shade asks, guilty pleasure songs.
Ooh. All right, so here's my theory on guilty pleasure songs. If you like it, you like it. Like, don't be embarrassed by it. Now, there are some artists where you're like, maybe don't tell everyone you like that. I love Pink Panthers. I don't know if any of you know who that is.
I didn't know who it was until you told me before the show.
Love her. I would say the song that I probably feel most guilty for loving, because I do not like this artist whatsoever, is Agoura Hills by Doja Cat. That song rocks, dude. No, I don't like anything else she makes, but that one song is my guilty pleasure. But I don't feel guilty for liking it.
I guess mine would be, I don't know, I think Cruel Summer by Taylor Swift is a jam.
All right.
I guess that'd be my guilty.
Cruel Summer by Bananarama is a better song, though.
Oh, okay.
Shout out The Karate Kid.
I'll have to check it out. Like,
you've seen The Karate Kid. You've heard that song.
Okay. I'm not sitting here listening to Taylor Swift, but if I had to pick a Taylor Swift song to listen to and I'll enjoy it, it'd probably be Cruel Summer.
Taylor Swift used to have good music.
Yeah. So
her best song is Never Grow Up, by the way, in case there's any Swifties in the chat.
All right. This comes from Unk in the Discord. This is going to be our final question of the show before we head on out. Alabama AD Greg Byrne made a statement / suggestion about removing schools that don't follow the rules. Do you think more schools will start taking a firm stance like that? I hope so. I said it during the national hour that if we are going to get college football programs to actually obey by these rules that are being set in front of them, like the NCAA trying to force punishment on teams that could potentially take ghost transfers in the spring transfer portal. I don't think that the NCAA can be the people that imposes those rules, because nobody wants to listen to them anyways. They'll just take them to court and they'll beat them and it won't matter anyways. But if the SEC or the Big Ten or the ACC would actually be the ones that govern these rules and actually set them in place and push the punishments on these programs, I think that schools would listen. And I hope that more schools do take that type of stance. Now, the only issue you run into is, well, if the SEC doesn't, the Big Ten doesn't, then you're kind of setting this unlevel playing field. But something has to be done. And if it's the conferences pushing these rules on their own programs, then so be it. But something has to be done.
Yes. And this is kind of where we're getting to the Irish honor system of, you guys govern yourselves. You guys make sure you do the right thing, and we'll all kind of nod and say, all right, we're going to do this. And then you look around and you're like, well, if we don't follow these rules, we have a competitive advantage over
right.
one another. And I mean, that's what it is right now. Like, it's essentially the Irish honor system. Like, you're not supposed to pay players just outright to pay to play. There's supposed to be NIL deals tied to what you're doing. But you get a competitive advantage if you kind of go in between the lines there, and everyone's breaking those rules right now. So in an ideal world, in a utopian college football society, yeah, there are these rules, and there's no need to have anyone enforce them because everyone's following it. But we know.
Yep. All right.
Is that all the Discord questions? We have time for one more?
Let me see if I can find one more. The same guy did ask guilty pleasure hobby.
Guilty pleasure hobby. I don't know if I have, like, something where I'm like, ooh, I hope no one sees me enjoying this.
Yeah.
Like, listening to, like, songs would be the guilty pleasure hobby I have. And, like people say, like, oh, pickleball should be your guilty. I don't feel guilty for that.
No, that's not a guilty
pickleball's
hobby.
Pickleball's fun, dude.
You're out there exerting energy and doing something physical, a physical activity. That's a good thing. Hey, I don't know that I have, like, a guilty pleasure hobby. I don't know. Maybe I need to find one. I don't know.
Yeah, dude, you need a hobby.
I have hobbies. I just need a guilty pleasure hobby, I suppose.
You got too much time on your hands. Yeah, well.
Maybe that's something I need to figure out. I don't know. All right. Well, that is going to be the end of the show. That is it for the rest of the week as well. Next week, we will have Brooks back in studio, I believe, for the entire week as well. So you'll have all three of us back here for both the National Hour and the Local Hour. We appreciate you guys, all of you guys, for anybody that tuned in this week. Stay locked in with just me and Kirby, even though it's not the natural format of our show. We appreciate all the support that you guys have shown us and the allegiance that you've shown to us. So it means a lot to us that you guys continue to tune in and show a bunch of love to us, even though the head man is not in office. So have a great weekend. We love to appreciate what?
Call him the head man.
The head man.
The head honcho. It's better.
Okay. The boss man. Even though the boss man is not here, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We love and appreciate you guys. We'll see you later.
Shockliana Williams.